Here we go. So what we ended with last time is we didn't really get into what Abigail said. Abigail is talking to David HaMelech, convincing him not to kill her husband and not to kill her or her family, etc. And she says a line in Pasuk Chaf Tes that deals with some of the secrets of the Torah. The line is, "Vayakam adam lerdofcha, a man has come out to pursue you, levakesh nafshecha, and to search for your soul. Vayisa nefesh adni tzura b'tzura chayim, but the soul of my master is tied to a tie of life, as Hashem alakecha, together with Hashem. Ves nefesh oivecha, the soul of your enemies, yikalena b'soch kafakela, should be placed, cast, into the hollow of a sling." In other words, those little slingshots that go around. Chazal tell us, and we said this a little bit last time, there's a difference between what happens to the soul of a tzaddik versus what happens to the soul of a rasha after a person dies. A tzaddik is tzura b'tzura chayim, connected to life. There's somehow a connection with the Shechina in which we say that the neshama is brought up to the heavens and given some type of glory. The glorification, I don't know, whatever it is, the ziv hashchina, the glory of the Shechina, shines from HaKadosh Baruch Hu toward that soul and does something to it, allows them to become greater so that it can be ready for Tchias HaMesim. By Rishayim, their neshamos are never given any rest. We call that sometimes Gehenim. In the line of the Torah, it's called Kafakela, which means no rest. It's thrown around, so to speak, as if the soul never has anywhere to be. It's thrown in this world, to that world, to whatever it is, as if it's taken out completely. So there, the Miyamloi says there are seven things that we have to know about this pasuk. Number one, we learn from over here that the nefesh is eternal. It does not die. When a person passes away, the body is gone, but the nefesh definitely still remains. Number two, every soul has its own place. There's a place where it's supposed to go. There's something that's going to be around that happens to the soul afterward. Number three, good deeds will allow the soul to have good reward, la'asad lavo, and obviously the opposite as well. Bad deeds can cause a person to be punished in a horrible fashion. Number four, after the soul parts from the body, it eventually will come back and will be brought back at some point. Number five, there is a delight that it gets beyond any ordinary, I guess, taiva that a person could have in this world, that it gets in Olam Haba when it connects with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Number six, wicked people deserve death, but sometimes the punishment that the soul gets is worse than death itself. Sometimes that punishment is pushed off a little bit. And number seven, the soul that experiences some affliction and suffering could be a kapara for what it's supposed to get in the next world, that it won't get its full punishment in the next world. Here, Paul, grab one of these. But that's what we have over here. Pasuk Lamed over here. It'll be the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for my master. Again, Abigail's still talking. When Hashem does for my master everything that he had spoken, as a tova, the good things, and you're commanded to be the prince over Israel. You're supposed to be the king. When Hashem says it's time and you become king over Israel, I don't want this to be for you an obstacle. Ulamichshol lev Adoni, and for the stumbling block of the heart of my master, lishbach dam chinam, to spill innocent blood. Oloshi Adoni lo, and to save and say that my master has avenged himself. Hey, to Hashem Adoni, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to do good for you. Vizakarto samasecha, and then you should remember your handmaid. Chazal say there were two things that David Melech wanted to do over here. Number one, he wanted to kill Nevel, the husband Abigail, because of what he had just said, what he had said, and his arguments on David HaMelech. That's the first thing he wanted to do. But there was a second thing, and it's an even scarier thing. David had a desire for Abigail and said, you should be together with me. Ditch your husband and be together with me. To which Abigail said, Lo tia zos l'chalapuka. This shouldn't be the issue for you, Avesh Asish, because I'm going to marry you, and we are going to get married. My husband's going to die, and I'm a Nevi'ah, I know I'm going to marry you. She said, V'zacharta samasecha, when you become king, remember your maidservant because I'm waiting for you. Okay, so she said that. The Gemara describes it as a goose, that even when its head is down low, still the eyes are always looking up. And she was looking at what the future held for, and she knew, David HaMelech, I know you're going to marry me. I know that's going to happen. But not now. If you're together with me now, that will be Esh Hashish. Then we're going to have to worry. I'm not going to leave my husband for you. This is going to start rumors. Nobody needs to hear those rumors. Said Abigail, we'll wait, and everything's going to be okay. But this time, you won't sin. there's going to be another time that you are going to sin, and that's going to be eventually with Bathsheba. She called it that Bathsheba and David HaMelech was going to be a problem, even though this is going to be okay. So that's the idea behind what happened over here. Next, by Yomer David LaAvigal, David said to Avigal, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is God, the God of Israel, Shishulachich, Hayom Azeli Krasi, that sent you ahead to meet me at this time. Baruch Tameich Uvrucha At, blessed is your advice. You are blessed. Ashakalisini Ayom Hazeh Mibobadamin. You have stopped me today from causing bloodshed. Voshia Yadili. And you were able to save myself over my own hand. That's the idea behind it. If you look over here, Avigail is missing the second yud. The reason why is because the fact that David HaMelech wanted to be together with her is equal to being over on all 10 commandments. And David HaMelech's level, had he been together with her, that Eish HaSish would have been equal to being over on all 10 commandments, which means Avigail is spelled without the extra yud. She saved him from being over on those 10 commandments. And when he said it to her, it was just like that. What was David HaMelech thinking? Why was he allowed to be together with Avigail? She's obviously a married woman. He knew she was a married woman. She said, my husband, Neville. Why was that mutter?
Because when you send someone off to war, it's like they're dead.
Not send someone off to war. That was with Uri Achiti. This is with Neville. Neville was not being sent off to war. That was when he said, I don't want to give you any of my sheep, and he argued on David. But he rebelled against David HaMelech, and David HaMelech considered himself a king. Doeg HaDomi had already paskin about David himself. Why was Michal able to marry Palti ben Laish? She was married to David. The answer is, David was chayiv misa by the hands of the king. If you're chayiv misa by the hands of the king, it's like you're already dead, and your wife can marry another person. So David was using that psak and saying, Avigail, your husband's already dead. It's mutter for you to be married to me. That's what he told her, and she said, I don't want to deal with that psak. That was Doeg HaDomi's psak, and it's a wrong psak. I'm not doing that. And therefore, he thought that it was going to be okay, but it wasn't. The Gemara says they actually might have been together. But at that moment, Avigail became Anita, which is interesting, right? David HaMelech wouldn't be together with Anita, but he was willing to be together with Eish HaSish. And the pshat is, again, because he had a heter for Eish HaSish, he thought. But he didn't have a heter for Anita. The Anita itself?
The fact that they got that close.
To what? That in which Nida had to be, was the reason. So the Gemara says that when she was going down the mountain, remember she was Beseser Ahor, she rode the donkey in a normal fashion instead of side saddle because she was afraid. Fear also causes menstruation at times. It can cause a menstruation to stop. It can cause a menstruation to happen. That's a Gemara Nida. So therefore, because of that, it's possible that she became a Nida. And that's where the Medrash comes from. And that's why, because she was so scared about what was happening, going down the mountain at night when David HaMelech was trying to kill them. Right, she was worried about all that. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, V'ulam Chay Hashem Elokei Yisrael, by the life of God, the God of Israel, Hashem, and Ani Mehara Usach, who has prevented me from doing evil to you, Kiluli Mehart V'Tavos L'Krasi, had you not come and greeted me, Kim Nosir L'Nevel An Or B'Kamash Mekir, there would be nothing left to Nevel, even something urinating against the wall. A bunch of different ideas over here. Chazal say maybe it's referring to like a dog, maybe it's referring to any person that was around there. But regardless, there would be nothing left. He took from her hand that which she brought to him. V'law Omar, and to her he said, Alila Sholom, they say, go home. Re'i Shamati V'kuleich, see that I have listened to your request. V'asapanayich, I have listened to your voice. I am not going to kill anybody whatsoever. Halachically speaking, you know, Rabbi Chana Wasserman was once in L.A., might have been a Simcha Wasserman, it might have been a son or a Simcha. But he went to L.A. and he went to go get a donation from a certain person. The wife answered the door and said, oh, here, let me write you out the check. She wrote out the check and gave it to him. He said, I can't take this. Does your husband know that you're writing it? So this was a woman who, you know, said to Rabbi Chanan, he said, it's my money. I can give the money just like my husband. But Rabbi Chanan Wasserman held the halacha. You can't take money, a large amount of money from a wife without getting it from the husband, without getting permission from the husband. She said, I can't take it. To which she said, if you don't take it from me, you're not getting this money. And it was a large amount of money. According to the story, the one who told the story, it was enough money for Baranovich to run for a full month. And he said, I can't do it. And he stopped and he wouldn't take the money whatsoever. And you like to hear those stories where she like ran after him and said, oh, here, I'll give you double the amount. But that didn't happen. He lost out on the money completely. Here, why was David HaMelech allowed to take the money from Avigail? He took all of that meat and the food and everything like that. Why was he allowed to take it from Avigail? So it could be that the reason why was, number one, Neville was obligated to pay David for something for what he had done with the sheep beforehand. So there was an obligation and she was just paying it back. Number two, it wasn't really that large. Think about it. She gave like 100 raisins, we said, for 400 to 600 people that were in Dovin Melo's camp, that's not a lot. She brought a couple goats. It's not like she brought a ton of stuff. She brought enough, and therefore wasn't considered a huge gift. Number three, had Neville known that she was giving it to save his life, he would have been okay with it. And therefore it was okay for Dovin Melo to take the money. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vatovo Avigail Neville. Avigail came to Neville. V'yenei lo mishta bebeisu. He's having the feast in his house. K'mishta amelach. Like a feast to the king. You notice this? This is where we get the drush that Neville thought that he should be king. Neville was from the direct line of Kalev ben Yefuneh. He felt that he was more chashuv and he should be king over David. Didn't agree with Shmuel and Avi's psak to make David HaMelech the next king. Thought that he should be the king instead. And that's why he made a feast, Kemishtei HaMelech, like a mishta that a king should make. It says, V'lev Neville tova love. The heart of Neville was very good upon him. Who's shikur ad ma'od. He was extremely drunk. Come over here, Eli. V'lo igidalo davar katzim v'gadu ad or aboker. And she said nothing to him. Nothing big, nothing small, till the light of morning. She waited until the morning because he was extremely drunk. She said absolutely nothing whatsoever about where she was, what she was doing, etc. V'yiba boker, it says in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, b'tzeisa yayin Neville. After the wine was gone, and he was obviously had the massive hangover that normally one person would get. No, nobody here has experienced that. V'tagelo ishto as a devarma eil. So his wife told him everything that had happened over there. Vayomas libo bekirbo. His heart died within him. This is Rosh Hashanah morning. Himamish, his heart died within him a little bit. Voyola Evan, he became like a stone. He was sitting there like, oh my gosh, that almost happened. Because Saras Yom, 10 days passed, it was Yom Kippur. Vayigo Hashem is Neville Vayamos. Hashem plagued Neville over those 10 days of Saras Yom Tshuva. He did not do Tshuva properly, and he died. He thus died.
So he had the same punishment as Paro.
Why Paro?
Also, his heart was hardened as well.
No, this is not hardened heart. His heart died within him a little bit. He's like, oh my gosh, it's almost like he gave himself a heart attack. I can't believe
like
I almost died.
It's like an Evan.
Well, yeah,
like
Huayala Evan. Right, his heart felt like a stone within him.
I'm saying it's like Paro. It's also the same thing. He also had a stone.
But there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. Here, this is Neville himself hearing the bad news and felt like a piece of garbage. That's what it is. There's no hardening of the heart here. There's nothing to harden. He's done. Right, that's the idea behind him. And that's that. Some say that when he's stone-like, it didn't mean his heart, but rather his limbs. He couldn't move his limbs. He mamish couldn't get up out of bed. He wasn't upset, says Rashi, about the danger. He was upset that his wife had given away all that money. When he heard it, he's like, I'm poor now. I can't believe that just happened. Okay, everybody says it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc., and that it happened over there. Chazal tell us that the reason why Neville was punished was nothing to do with what he did to David Melch. He did deserve to be Morid B'Malchus. He deserved to die. But he was punished because he didn't mourn Shmuel and Avi's death. Everybody was mourning Shmuel and Avi, who had just died. Everybody's crying over Shmuel and Avi. And this guy, what does this guy do? He goes and makes a feast. That's crazy. You're going and you're making a feast out of that. So after the 7 days of mourning were completed, Neville took sick. He died 3 days later. All because how in the world, how could you not have done that? So according to this, though, that means he died by where Shmuel and Avi were saying, Yemen. But this means that he died near Shmuel and Avi's death. We had the Mesorah before that happened in Ir. If that's true, this was not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The 10 days were not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It was much earlier. It was in the summer, in the middle of the summer. Pasuk Lamatas. Vayishma David Kimeis Neville. David heard that Neville had died. Vayomer Baruch Hashem Asher Rav Is Riv Karpasi. Baruch Hashem, he fought my fight instead. Mia Neville from the hands of Neville Vesavdo Chosach Mera, and he held back his servant, referring to himself, from doing evil. Vesraz Neville Yishev Hashem Barosho. The evil of Neville he put back upon his head. Vayishla David. David Melech sent a messenger to speak to Abigail in order to take her as a wife for him. Chazal tell us that this was 3 months later. It was not immediate because a woman is not allowed to remarry somebody for 3 months afterward. Now, it could be that he spoke immediately, waited until after the Shiva, but look what it says. Avdi David Abigail Carmela. The Avdi David came to Abigail in the Carmel, they spoke to her, Lamor, David is sent us to you to take you as a wife itself. Notice something, by the way. Look at what the servant said. David shlochanu eleich, not Hamelech David. They said specifically, they were saying, this is not forcing you to do something. It's your choice. If the King David sends for you, you better come. If David sends for you, it's your choice. You can choose whatever you want. He gave Abigail that choice. And Abigail in Pasuk Mem Aleph says, Vatokam, she got up, Vatishtachu apayimartu, she bowed down to the ground. Vatomini amaschola shifcha lirchot ragle avde adoni. Your maidservant is like literally a slave to wash the legs of my servant, the servants of my master. I'm even willing to wash the master's servants' That's what I'm willing to do. Vatamahir Vatukam Abigail. She quickly got up Abigail Vatirka Vlachmar. She rode on the donkey, Vakameshnaurasel. There were five of her young girls who went behind her. Vatilakhare Malachi David, they went after the messengers of David, Vatilo Leisha, and she became his wife. Chazal tell us that again 3 months later. She may have gone immediately. She may have gone immediately. I don't even know if she kept the Shiva for Neville, even though she obviously had a chiyuv. The king called her. She felt she had to go immediately. But I'm sorry? We do have a status of a king as soon as he was had the Mashiach from Shmuel and Avi. At least the people around, and Neville and Abigail certainly did. What we've been talking about is Neville's argument on David HaMelech, so certainly Neville and Abigail knew that. There was no question about that. Her argument was, you're not known as a king yet, so don't do the Merida B'Malchus, it's going to look bad. But not that he couldn't do it.
But it's still, how do you have two people who have the same authority then, essentially? You have Shaul, who's still a king, and David is the king.
So I don't know what the issue with that would be. It did happen one other time when Yoash, Uzziah ended up having Tzaraas and Yosam took over. So there were two people who had the ability to be king at the same time.
That was more like acting king and real king because it's a son.
But both had the power. At any point, Uzziah had the ability to do it. In theory, you can still have that. Whatever would have been had Shaul HaMelech not sinned and become the second in command to David, it could be it was like that as well. There is a command that Shaul HaMelech always wielded, but he never was the king with the Shemana Mishka because he never had the Shemana Mishka. So it would have been something. But that already is a Shiloh. What status did David HaMelech have after he had the Mashiach? David HaMelech held he was a Melech.
Because even after Shaul died, he was only king in Hebron for 7 years before he became king in Yerushalayim.
Correct, but nonetheless, he still had the status of a Melech. What that entails, that already is a good Kasha. That's something for like the Nachalas Shimon to go into, you know, what exactly he was. Look in Pasuk Mem Gimel, everyone. That's Achinoam, like David Yisrael. David HaMelech then took Achinoam, his wife Achinoam from Yisrael, but Tanagam Shtanlo Lenashim, they were both his wives. He did not treat either one of them more than the other, even though Abigail was an Aviyah and very special and extremely beautiful, as we said, one of the four most beautiful people to have ever lived. Nonetheless, he treated them properly, exactly in that way. That's that. There is an interesting one. There is a machlokas. Abigail did become pregnant and did give birth very early after being married to David HaMelech. So the scoffers, the late son of the generation, said it was similar to like with Avraham Avinu and Sarah. It's really Neville's kid. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the child is going to look exactly like David HaMelech. And the child did. That child's name was therefore called Kilav. Kilaav, he was like his father. He looked like his father. The actual name of the child was Daniel. They named the child Daniel, but he was called Kilav. And he is one of the four people that we have that never sinned in their life. Binyamin, Amram, Yishai, and Kilav is mentioned in the Gemara of Basra that he never sinned whatsoever. Sholnasin is Michal Bito, Ishes David Lefalti Ben Laish, Asher Migalim. Shaul HaMelech, meanwhile, had given Michal over, his daughter, the wife of David, to Palti ben Laish, who was from the city of Galim itself. It could be that Shaul HaMelech heard that David HaMelech took other wives. Maybe he heard that he had taken Abigail's wife and said, you know what? If he's going to take extra wives, I'm taking Michal away. He had heard the psak from Doeg Adomi, again, Doeg Paskin, that if you're chayiv misa lemalchus, you're chayiv to be killed by the king, then you're no longer alive and your wife is mutter. And therefore, he paskin that way, Michal can go somewhere else. However, Paltiel, whether he actually married Michal or faked it, that already is machlokas rishonim. The Gemara seems to say he was Paltiel, saved by God, never was together with Michal, put a sword in the middle of his bed and said, anybody who's together with this woman is Chai Misa. Why he married her and didn't say to Shaul, no way, I guess he was worried about saying no to the king. Or maybe Paltiel thought, you know what, if I marry her, I'll make sure she doesn't get together with anybody else. Somebody else marries her, maybe Chas Shalom, they'll be over on Eish Hashish, and that'll be on Shaul's head as well as Michal's head. Maybe that's the reason why he did it over here. Maybe he didn't want to openly defy Shaul HaMelech itself. Some say that Paltiel ben Laish was also an old man with a family of his own. Michal was just put into his house to make it seem like almost like a maidservant, but not that literally she was his wife. Maybe that's not what's going to be over here. Who knows what exactly it was. Without a question. But then you get into the Radak and the Ralbag. The Ralbag and the Abarbanel seem to say that they never got married. Palti ben Laish took care of her right? And she was like a daughter to him, but never actually got married. And that's why the wording over here is Nosan es micha bitoeches David lefalti ben laish. There's no lakach, as in what you'd say by a likuchin, which is a marriage. She was just given over for Palti to look over her. But either way, there are three different answers to that. Next, Parakov. Above everybody. The Zifim came to Shol to Giva. Laymore, they were saying, "Hello, David, Mr. Tervi, give us a chachila on Pnei Yishimon." Did you know David is hiding? Give us a chachila on Pnei Yishimon. The Zifim, this is the second time they went against David Melech. And the crazy thing is, they're from Shevet Yehuda. You would have thought that they would be on David Melech's side. This is David Melech from Shevet Yehuda. I'm sorry? But Neville had a reason. Neville thought that he was more roy to become king because they were there. The Zifim had no fight in this. There was no reason for them to do this. It seems very strange that we're willing to slander all over again. It seems very strange. However, it could be, and remember, Shaul HaMelech had already sworn, "I'm not going to do anything to David Melech." The last time the Zifim had told Shaul where David Melech was, Shaul swore, "I'm never going to touch David Melech ever again." So what were the Zifim thinking over here? So it could be that when they saw that Shmuel and Avi had died, they thought maybe things have changed. Maybe the fact that Neville's sudden death, David Melech taking Abigail for a wife, and everything like that, they were worried David Melech is gaining power. David's going to take revenge against us because we told on him to Shaul. So they wanted to take care of things and say, "Listen, before David HaMelech gets us," they said to Shaul, "why don't you go get him?" It could be they were worried about that itself. It could also be that they were worried, and they didn't say anything direct over here. They said, "Hello, David Mistateri Manu," because they were worried about Shaul's reaction. They didn't know what Shaul was really feeling. Was Shaul still angry at David, or was Shaul going with this Shvua? They just said, I just want you to know where David HaMelech is. He's by this area over here. If you want to go, you can go. Whatever you want to do over here. Tehillim Nun Dalet is at this point, some say was written at this point by David HaMelech to chase away the Zifim and what happened over here. He was shocked. He was shocked that the Zifim came after him again. After the first time it didn't succeed, and the Zifim are trying to do it again. So it says in Pasuk Beis, "Vayakom Shaul v'yirid al Midbar Zif." So Shaul got up, he went down to Midbar Zif. "V'ito shalosh alafim yishbachuri Yisrael." This time, there was no ruse this time, no tricks. He wasn't saying, "We're going against the Plishtim," and then like, "Oh, David's right here, let's go get David." Now, he took 3,000 men, ready to go, Levakish David Midbar Zif, to go mamish to get him in Midbar Zif. Vayichan Shaul b'givis hachachila shal p'nei Yishimon. Shaul camped in Givis Achila, right by the area of Yishimon, which is a certain area, Al-Darach, right by the road. David is sitting in the desert. And he saw Shaul came after him to the desert. David's not running away this time. He said, "What's going on here?" He swore he wasn't going to touch me. So he sent spies out. And the spies were going out just to check, why is Shaul coming? Is he coming for me? Is there a war going on? What exactly is Shaul HaMelech doing? Vayeda kibo Shaul HaNachon. And they knew, they realized, Shaul HaMelech is actually coming. It seems like, and the Mitzudas David says, there was a reluctance to believe it. There's no way he's really coming against me. He swore it. He swore he wouldn't do it. It's almost like he's completely reluctant. And that's why he sent out the spies. And he realized, okay, this is bad. Some say, by the way, El Nachon was actually a spot. It doesn't mean he's coming mamish. He camped by a city called Nachon. Pasuk Hey, Vayakom David Yovel Lamakom Asher Chanisham Shaul. So David Melech got up and he went to the place where Shaul was camped. Vayar David is a Makom Asher Shochav Shem Shaul, and he saw the place where Shaul was sleeping. He was shocked. He's like, "Are there no guards here? No guards? Nobody on the outside?" He was able to walk in and see Shaul HaMelech sleeping. The Avner Bener Sartzva'o, Avner Bener, his general, the Shaul, Shochei v'magol, they were all sleeping in a circle. Va'am chonim svivosev, all of them were camped all around him. And he saw crazy nisim. He was about to run and hide, but he looks at it and he's like, "Is everyone asleep? Everyone is completely asleep." So he saw this as a sign. He's supposed to go in. So he does it. He said to Achimelech the Chiti, Avisha ben Tsruya, and Avisha ben Tsruya, Achi Yoav, the brother of Yoav. Avisha ben Tsruya was one of his generals. Achimelech Achiti does not seem to be Achimelech HaKohen, refers to somebody else entirely. It says, Mi Yerid Et El Shaul HaMachne. Who's going to come with me to the camp to Shaul HaMelech? He didn't want to go alone. On the other hand, he didn't want to put people in danger. So he didn't demand it from anybody. He just said, "Who's going to come with me? Do you want to come with me?" Vayomer Avishai Nei Redimach. Said Avishai, "I'll come with you. All right, I'll go with you." Vayova David Vayivishai Alma Lila. So David and Avishai came to the people that night. Vayinei Shaul Shokiv Yashin B'Magol. Shaul is sleeping in that circle. V'chaniso Me'ucha Ba'aretz. His spear was sitting in the ground, just sitting in the ground right by his head. Merash Yosef, right by his head. Va'avner va'am shokhvim sivosef. And Avner and the people were lying all around. Notice, in the beginning it said El Amachana, in Pasuk Vav it says Amachana, and Pasuk Zayin they become the Am. The reason why the Malvim says it's no longer Amachana, at first they were Amachana, but now they're just sleeping? When they're supposed to be in camps everywhere? That's not a machana. It's just random people. They're no longer well organized. So they call them the and that's that. Notice over here as well, David HaMelech said, who's going to come with me to Shaul? He does not call him Shaul HaMelech anymore. Since he's going against his own Shavua, he swore he wouldn't come after me. Now he's doing this again, said he's no longer king to me. He's no longer my king because he's going against everything else over here. Hashem has put today your enemies into your hands. Let me kill him with the spear. I'll just stick it in the ground this one time. I won't even need a second time. You give me that spear that's right by his head, I'll be able to kill him. And David, you can run away. I'll stay here and take the brunt of the army fighting against me. Because obviously, when Shaul HaMelech dies, everybody else is going to be like, what just happened? They're going to jump up and they're going to fight me. You, get out of here. Get out of here. I'll do it myself. That's what he said over here. Do not hurt him. Just like it was in the cave before, don't hurt him. Who in the world could put their hands upon someone who was anointed by God as a king and be cleansed from it? As God, none other than Hashem will plague him. Either his time will come and he'll die, or he'll die in war itself. I know it's going to be soon, says the Radak. I know he's supposed to die soon. It's not going to be a long time, and he's not going to die naturally. He's going to die in some way. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu be involved over here. I don't want to be involved. Notice he said a Shavua. The reason why he took the oath? His Yetzer Hara was going crazy. His Yetzer Hara was saying, he wants to kill you. He broke his Shavua. He's no longer the king. Just kill him. And David HaMelech had to swear, I swear I'm not going to kill him. Neither me nor any of my men are going to kill him. That's what he had to say right over here. Some suggest that David HaMelech Shavua was on Avishai. He said, I swear to you, if you kill him, I will kill you. I'm going to kill you myself. So he told Avishai, you can't do it. Chalila me'Hashem mishloach yad v'mashiach Hashem. Chalila that I would ever put my hand on the Mashiach Hashem. V'atah kach me'as chanis. Take this spear, Hashem Rosh Hashanah, right by his head. V'estapach zamayim enocha lanu. Take the flask of water as well, and let's go away. We want it to happen in a better way than this. So David HaMelech took the spear and the flask of water. What happened? Didn't he tell Avishai to do it? It could be Avishai didn't want to get any closer. Or, the Radak says, he didn't trust him. Avishai came closer with the spear, right? And he was about to touch the spear, and David's like, you know what? Let me do that. Let me take care of that for you. So David HaMelech did it instead to make sure that he wouldn't kill Shaul HaMelech. It says, they went away. No one saw, no one knew. No one awoke. They were all asleep. Because a slumber of God came upon them. The Radak says it was a slumber made by a Kadosh Baruch Hu for this to happen right over here. Chazal say an unbelievable medrash. David HaMelech had asked a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, we already said this about spider webs, right? And about crazy people. David HaMelech asked a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is the point of hornets in this world? What is the point of a hornet in this world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the point of a hornet is to clear the path when a person needs it. When David HaMelech went in to go see Shaul HaMelech, right at that moment that he did it, Avner stretched out his leg, and the leg surrounded Shaul so that David HaMelech was not able to get up without moving Avner's leg. It would have been impossible. David HaMelech cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. And a hornet came, bit Avner ben Ner in the leg, and his reaction, his jerk reaction, was to move his leg quickly. David HaMelech was then able to run out. So the hornet was able to clear that path. There's a great story that a bunch of guys were in a cab from Bnei Brak going to Yerushalayim. Right? As they were going, they said Tfilos Aderech. The cab driver was a Chiloni cab driver. He turned to them and he said, you know what? I always hear you guys saying Tfilos Aderech. And you say, Chayos Ros HaMisrad Shos Lavo Olam. You mentioned in the Tfilos Aderech, the wild animals that can, you know, you come upon in the path. He said, I'm in a cab going from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. What wild animals could there possibly be? So like one of the rabbis that were there, they said, like, you know, crazy drivers can be animals. So the other crazy drivers on the road, you know, that could be that. But he said, the driver did not like that. No, it could be. But he said he didn't like it. In the cab, they had their windows open. In the middle of the ride, all of a sudden, this massive hornet comes in the car. and starts going around the car. And they're all going crazy, like, ah, they're trying to, whatever it is. The cab driver, like, goes to the end of the road, right, to the side of the road, pulls over to the side of the road, and they all get out of the car, open up the doors, and they jump out, right? And one of the guys goes up to the cab driver and says, Chayos Ros, O Mizrag Shel Slavola Olam. That's the Chayos Ros that over there. Never thought about it, never had anything to it, but that might be, I see that now, I don't know if this is a different version, but many of the Tefillos Sederach don't even have the words Chayos Ros, O Mizrag Shel Slavola Olam. It was taken out. This might be why they had it, yeah. Chayos Ros.
Right.
Isn't there a movie with snakes on a plane? It's a movie, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, the birds, very good. Oh, the birds, very good. Very, very good. That's very good. Oh, so you don't even need snakes. That's very, very good. So then it says, so David stood at the crossing, and he stood on the top of a mountain, there was a great separation between them, very far away, so that he couldn't see each other, right? And he got up there, he climbed up the mountain right over here, and that's that. Some say they weren't that far apart. It seemed like they were far apart, but he actually just moved up, you know, to a little area that was right around there. David HaMelech first called out to the people, and then to Avner ben Ner, the general. Lamor, and he said out loud, Halotana Avner, will you not answer me, Avner? Vayana Avner v'yomer, miyata karas HaMelech, who are you to wake up the king? Why are you waking up the king? Avner was called out by name, right, because he wasn't answering. So he said, who are you? You're such minimal worth. You're willing to call out to the king. How dare you call out to the king itself? But here we double Avner. Halo ish ato. Aren't you a man? He told Avner. Who's among you among Bnei Yisrael? The truth is, Avner was a very great man, a very big tzaddik. Who's among you among Bnei Yisrael? Lamalu shamar tel Adonai HaMelech. Why did you not watch over your master, the king? One of the nation could come to destroy your master, and that could have happened over here. I'm calling you great because you truly are great, but you just made a massive mistake. You allowed Shaul HaMelech to be sleeping, and anybody could have come in. You did not do a good thing over here. Chai Hashem by the life of God, keeping a mavis at him. You're all chai misa. You did not watch your master, the anointed one of Hashem. So Avner immediately answered and said he wasn't really here. That never really happened. To which he said, oh yeah? Where's the spear and the flask of water that was right by the head of your master? Where are those things? Oh, are they here? Are they sitting right here? I have them right here. That proves I was by you. By Yakir Shol is called David. Shol HaMelech recognized the voice of David. David, is that your voice, my son David? David, that is my voice, Adonai Melech. Now, he calls him a Melech. He treats him like a child. Treats him like his own son. He says, Adoni HaMelech. V'yomer lama ze Adoni rodef acharei avdo. David HaMelech said, why is your master pursuing your servant? Kima sisim abiyadi ra. What did I do? What was evil in my hands? What is going on, right, when it came down to this? What happened over here? V'atol. Yishma Adoni HaMelech es divrei avdo. My master, the king, should listen to the words of his servant. Im Hashem esis kabi. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has incited you against me, and it's God causing you to be angry with me, Yorach Mincha, I will give an offering to God, and I'll get my forgiveness from God. Meaning, if you're just a shliach, a servant of God, and God is mad at me, I'm going to give a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im b'nei adam arurim heim lifnei Hashem, ki gershinu mistapeach. But if it's the sons of men, they are cursed in front of Hashem, and he knew that it was doi gad domi. If it's, they should be cursed in front of Hashem, ki yershuna yom yistapeach minachal Hashem. You know why? Because they have kicked me out from enjoying the nachalas Hashem. I've been out of the country. I haven't been able to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And I might have to go again. He said, it's their fault that I'm leaving. Lemor lechavod olim acherim. It's as if they're telling me to go worship other gods. Chazal say from over here, leaving Eretz Yisrael to be in other lands is as if you're worshiping other gods. That there's nothing like it because you have to do certain things that you have no choice otherwise. Who here doesn't enjoy Christmas music? Anyone here?
Does it or
doesn't? It's awful. Everybody loves it. Come on. Come on. I don't turn it on, right? But if it's there, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. But that's because I'm an Oved Avodah Zarah. I am an Oved Avodah Zarah by being in Chutz La'aretz, and I got used to this stuff. It's there. You know what I love? I love the fact that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, right, you go to enclaves, areas where they shouldn't know anything other than what's right in front of them. and they'll dress up as Santa Claus for Purim, and they'll have the Christmas lights all over, right? They'll do that. It's mamash like it's as if
the
Santa in the sukkah itself, in some way, shape, or form. It's a different idea. Halavai. I hope they don't have any thing with the outside world. Let's hope. Yeah. Yeah. He did it once before. He did call Bini. Because that's, he called Avi, etc., right? And now, he's not really Bini. He called him Bini as in a source of affection, just as a sign of affection for him, and that's that. That's what Yishmael Duni HaMelech, so he said, Binach Hashem. So that was the problem, that I'm now no longer going to be able to be there. Chazal say, David was punished for this. Hashem said, are you calling me an inciter? You think I instigated this? You're even daring to say, if Hashem incited me, I am going to incite you, he said. If you say that I'm an inciter, I'm going to incite you. I'm going to make you think you want to take a what's it called to the people, a census of the people, and you're going to make that mistake. I'm going to give you a Yetzirah to want to do so, and you're going to make that mistake, and it's a huge mistake. It was a bad thing for Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Chaf, V'ata, Al Yipol Dam Mi'aretz Minegem Bnei Hashem. Therefore, don't let my blood fall upon the earth before the presence of Hashem. Kiyotu Melech Yisrael Levakash Parosh Akod, because the king is going after a flea. Kasher Yir Devakori Baharim, like you're going after like a partridge in the mountains. You're like going on a hunt. You're going on a hunt. You've got like these dogs here and the little, you know, the horn blowing and everything. It's ridiculous over here. It's not going to be something like that. And that's that. The Malbim says this was also a tefillah. He hoped he wouldn't be killed while he's in Golos. He is now going to be in danger. He's no longer staying in Eretz Yisrael because he couldn't trust the Zifim. He couldn't trust Shaul HaMelech. He doesn't trust Doeg. He doesn't trust Avner. So he's got to get out. But where's he going to go? Moab already killed his father and his mother. His parents were killed by Moab. Ammon was a little far away, and he was a little scared of what Nachash was going to do to him as well. So where's he going to go? The Plishtim. But can you imagine what it's going to be like going to the Plishtim itself? He's worried about such a thing. What's going to happen if I go into Gullah? So he begged, please don't allow me to die. When other, Yom HaShol Chatosi, Shub Bini David, I have sinned, return my son David. Ki lo ore lecha eid, tachas asher yakur nafshi b'einecha. I'm not going to hurt you again. My soul is so precious in your eyes. Hayom hazan this day, hine eskalti, I am a fool. Eshkahar b'ma'id, and I made very many mistakes. This is the first time the Shaul HaMelech ever admitted his sins to David HaMelech. Not that he didn't feel bad or even swear that he wasn't going to do it again. He never said, I did something wrong. Here he finally admits that he did something wrong. The David HaMelech answered and said, he didn't answer the direct question. He said, return? I'm not returning. I don't trust you. Bring a servant over. I'll give him the spear, and the spear he can bring back to you. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give each man their righteousness and their kindness. I could have killed you today, and I didn't. May God repay me. I don't think you're going to repay me at all. I don't think I'm going to get anything from you. May God repay me instead. The way that my soul, your soul has been so great to me, King Tigdal Nafshi B'Ene Hashem, may my soul be looked at as great in the eyes of Hashem. Vayatzilini Mikol Tzara, may God save me from any pain out there whatsoever. So the question, you notice he only gave back the spear, but he didn't give back the flask? Rinas Yitzchok says, it's usur, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, to use the king's spear. So he couldn't use it. He was a king. But he felt like, you know what, I'm not going to use it. I'll show his servants that I'm not willing to use it. But the flask, he's still able to use. Flask, there was no issue. So he took it so that he knew that he had taken it from him on purpose. There's no issue with taking the king's flask. There's an issue with taking the king's spear.
Why?
What?
What if it's like a coast?
Stealing is a problem. Hold on, let me think. No, it's a flask. It's a flask, not a coast. But even so, you could still take the king's coast. But you're right, why not stealing?
You could say it's a war, and he was rightfully the owner of the spear and the water. And he decided to give, like when Avram decided to give that to Sodom, to the Sodom king.
Yeah, he's willing to give something back that's there.
And also, it could just be that the
spear. You know, I didn't see that. I did.
The water flask also, but the spear is the main thing.
Yeah, I saw three Sfarim this time. I did not see that question. That's a good question. Why wasn't it considered stealing? There must be something to do with spoils of war. Must be something to do with that. Pasuk Chafei, Bayomer Shol, David, Baruch HaTov, B'ni David, you are blessed, my son, David, Gamaso Taseh. You will do great things, Yachol Tuchal, Gam Yachol Tuchal, and you will prevail. The bracha the Shaul HaMelech gave to David HaMelech. Bayelech David Ledarko, David HaMelech went on his way. He already said that he was going to be king. Now he said, you're going to prevail. Shaul went back to his place. They never saw each other again. Shaul Melech and David Melech never met again. This is the last time they spoke to each other. And Shaul Melech ended on a high note. Chazal say, because he ended on a high note, he was zoche to have a chelik in Olam Haba. Shaul Melech did not go after him after this point. He's still zoche to a chelik. And we'll see a little bit more about that when he dies. Perakov Zayin. V'yomer David Olibo. David said to himself, Ata esafa yom echa biyad Shaul. One day I'm going to perish in the hands of Shaul. Ein li tov ki malin amalit alar esplishim. There is nothing better than me going to the land of the Plishtim. V'noash mimeni Shaul. Then Shaul will give up from me. Levak sheni od. He won't search for me anymore. B'chol gvul Yisrael throughout the borders of Israel. V'nimlatzi miyado. And I'll have escaped his hand over here. Obviously, David Melech had miracle after miracle after miracle happening for him. David Melech said, I can't keep relying on this. This is ridiculous. Obviously, Hashem is with me. But maybe next time I'm going to kill Shaul. I can't let this happen. Said David Melech, I can't let this do it again. I don't want my niece, the nisim to take away from my schuyos. I'm stopping this. David Melech went. He passed by together with 600 men. He went to Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gath. Some say it's the same Achish that he was with before. Some say it's a different one. Remember, the first time he ran away is when he ran away from Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol. He ran to Achish Melech Gath, and he pretended to be crazy to get out of it. Goliath's brothers, Yishbi, Benov, Madon, all those guys found him and said, that's David Melech. And Achish saw that he had acted crazy and said, I don't want to deal with crazy people, send him away. And he miraculously escaped. This time, is this the same Achish or is it a different Achish? Was Yishbi Benov already killed? Was he not already killed? We have absolutely no idea, but I'm going to give you some ideas over here. Hold on. The Yeshu David Achish Begas, Huvan Ashav Ish Ubeso. David HaMelech went with, to Achish in Gath. Him and his men, each man and their families. It's not just the 600 men. 600 men and their wives and kids. They went. David Ushtei Nashav. David went with his two wives, Ahinoam and Yisraelis, and Abigail Ishis Navoah Carmelis. He went with both of them. So why did he do this over here? Okay, number one, the Radak says the first time he went alone. This time he was going with a very big entourage. Achish is not going to try to kill him when he's got 600 warriors on his side. That's number one. Number two, David understood that the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him over to Achish in the first place was to understand why madness was created, why people are crazy. It was a question that he asked. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him through that so a person could fake it, etc. Right, that's the reason why. Number three, there's a possibility that the Plishtim would again accuse him of spying. But with 600 men, how's he going to spy? Clearly he's an enemy of the state and that's why he's coming. That's different. No longer is he a spy. He's clearly an enemy of Shaul HaMelech, and an enemy of Shaul was a friend of the Plishtim. Number four, they had wives and children with them. If they had wives and children, they obviously had no ill intent. There was nothing bad that they were going to do over here. Number five, this time he sent messengers asking permission to go to Gath as opposed to just walking into the city and trying to hide there. That was a little bit different. Number six, everybody knew that Shaul HaMelech was his enemy, not just Bnei Yisrael, but Shaul HaMelech himself, and the Plishtim hated Shaul more than they hated anything else in the world. Number seven, it's a different Achish. It's a different Achish. Those are the seven reasons given. I'm sorry, the David, Achinoam, Yisraelis, Abigail, Ishis, Naval, Carmelis. Number one, because it's going in order of how they were married. That's why it's Achinoam and then whatever it is. Achinoam, Yisraelis is to tell you where she was from. Ishis, Naval, Carmelis is to say that Abigail was known to everybody as being the wife of Naval, Carmelis, who then married David. Naval was a very chashev person, remember, and everybody in Yehuda knew who he was. He was that powerful. It's the reason why David Melech was worried about a rebellion happening from within the walls of Yehuda itself. She was well known, and part of her chashivus was being Naval's wife. That was her chashivus. And therefore we mention that over here, even though she's now married to David HaMelech, to show how chashiv she actually was. Could be the same thing by Achinoam, that Yisraelis is also a form of chashivus. But all right, Pasuk Dalet. Vayugad l'Shaul ki baruch David gas. Shaul HaMelech was told that David HaMelech ran away to Gath, to the Plishtim. Below Yosef Odebach Show, he said, I'm done. I don't want to deal with him anymore. And now I'd have to fight the Plishtim again, and I don't have David to fight the Plishtim. Ve'er David HaLachish, Im namat tzitzichem be'enecha, if I find favor in your eyes, yitnu li makom ba'achas arei asodeh, give me a place in one of the cities of the field, the Eish Vasham, I'm going to live there, but let me Yoshav Avdecha B'Yiram Amlacha Yimach. Why should I live in the palace with you, in the city of the capital city together with you? I've got 600 men with me. Just give me an area where I can make a city, and I'll go live in that city, I don't need anything in the main capital city. How am I going to live with everybody around here? David Mel did this for two reasons. Number one, he did not want Achish to know what he was doing. David Mel had a real plan here. He didn't want Achish to have any idea what he was doing. Number two, it's because if he stayed there, he knew that Achish eventually would realize that David Mel was never planning on, he was planning eventually on being the king of the Jews. So he stayed as far, he wanted to be as far away as possible. Vayitin lo Achish bayomahu as tziklug. David HaMelech was given tziklug from Achish at that moment, which is why tziklug is a king of Yehuda city from that point on. It was given, says the Radak, as a personal gift to David HaMelech, and now belongs to all the Malchi Yehuda. Not to Shevet Yehuda, but to the Malchi Yehuda. It was a few years, days, we don't know. If Shaul HaMelech was only king for 2 years, this was days. If Shaul HaMelech was king for more than 2 years, which we said might be a little bit of Akasha, then this was years. Years later, Asher Yosef David Estei Pelishim was sitting in the field of the Pelishim. Yomim Barba Chadashim. Some say this is, Yomim is a year and 4 months. Some say it is a few days and 4 months. Vayal Dovah Anashav Yishadu is Geshuri, Vesagrizi, Gziri, I'm sorry, Vamaleki. David HaMelech ended up fighting many of the small cities around him. Cities that were filled with Amalekim, cities that were filled with Geshurim, and cities filled with Gzirim. Those were people that were all in that land for a very long time. If you'll remember, Shaul HaMelech already fought against the Amalekim, and everybody was killed except for Agag. This is not like Agag made an entire nation in a minute, and it's just like they all grew up, and now they're a huge Amalekim. There were many different versions of Amalek. There was the Amalek that Agag was in charge of, and there were other Amalekim that married into other cities, right? And they were around. They weren't just in one big city. They were Amalekim, but they weren't Amalek that we know and hate, that we know and hate as Amalek itself. They were a little bit different. Okay, that's that. Now it says, Vayischapes Shaul, the Vayischapes Shaul, Vayobash Begadim Acherim. Wait, am I skipping a pasuk here? No, I said, hold on. Vayal David, that's Pasuk Ches. What's Pasuk Tes? Oh my gosh, I think I'm missing it. Oh, I'm missing it. V'hika David is the Aretz, v'l'yichaya ish v'isha. David HaMelech smote the land. No man or woman remained. V'lochatsonu barka v'chomer v'gamalim v'gadim. He took sheep and cattle and donkeys and camels and clothes. V'yashav v'vol Achish, and then he came back to Achish. V'yomer,
Why did he kill the women?
Where is this Pasuk? This is so weird. I'm sorry. I'm missing all that. Hold on. Give me a second over here. I'm going to tell in a second. Vayomer Achish al pishatzdem ayom. Where did you go today? Achish said to him. Vayomer David al negev Yehuda al negev Yerachmeeli. Oh, I went to south of Yehuda. I went to south of Yerachmeel. The negev Akeni to the south of the Keni. He's convincing Achish that he was fighting against Jews, but he wasn't. He was fighting against all these other people. The Ishvi shalo yichaya David lohavi yizgas leimor. He did not allow a single man or woman to live, in which they would go to God saying, Pen Yagidu Aleinu Lemer, maybe they would tell on him, saying, Ko Asadav, Ko Mishpato, this is what he's been doing, Ko Ayam, all these days, Yashub is state pollution, and he's sitting in the days, in the area of the pollution. Yomar Achish B'David Lemer, Achish said to David, about David, saying, Havesh Yivish Be'amo B'Yisrael, he hates the Jews, Vayilu La'avid Lolam, he'll be my servant forever. Okay, David HaMelech's plan was the following. He's not able to be in Eretz Yisrael, but he can now, little by little, take care of the enemies that are in the south of Eretz Yisrael without anybody finding out about it. Little by little, he goes and he raids cities that are filled with the most evil people that he can find. Whoever these people are, I have no idea. And he held, I don't know how, lehalacha, that you could kill man, woman, and child in all of these areas in order to make sure that they didn't tell on him. Why that's allowed, I'm sorry? Amalek, maybe you can answer up, maybe. But the other two nations, he shouldn't have been able to answer up. Why that was allowed, who knows? Maybe there were remnants from the Canaanim, and he felt that there were Chayiv Misa for some reason. Maybe there were people who he was worried, and Habala or Gech Ashkim Lahorgo, if they were going to kill you. Why it was allowed for him to start the fight and not just fight back, I'm not sure. That's not brought down by any of the Achronim, and it doesn't say exactly what it was. But the point is that he was slowly but surely getting rid of all of those. And his plan was that eventually, when he becomes king, he'd have all the ins and outs of the Plishtim. As much as they said, oh, he's not trying to spy us out, that's exactly what David HaMelech was doing. That's exactly what David HaMelech was doing. And when he said the south of Yehuda, south of Yerachmel, he didn't mean in Yehuda or in Yerachmel, he meant south of them, which is where the Amalek and the Gziri and everybody else were. That's exactly what was going there, right over there. Notice, by the way, it also says, Lamor, Pen Yagidu Aleinu, he said aloud to his people, don't allow them to say it over here. He was also afraid of the Ziphim. The Ziphim could tell on him. He was really worried about what was going to happen with the Ziphim over here, so he did not allow anybody to go through or suspect anything when it was over here. Okay, I will tell you, the Malbim says that these were Kinanim, and they had to be killed or driven out. The Radak says, though, this was partly a sin on Dov and Melech's part, that they were under Plishti domination for many years, and they were very weak, and Dov and Melech did not have to kill them. They would have done whatever the Plishtim did. And Abarbanel says, there's no way this happened. No way it happened. The Abarbanel says, how could he be so disloyal to Achish? He was not hurting Achish's people. He was destroying the nations that were enemies of Achish that were the south of Eretz. It seems to be in those pashtim. Yeah. And Achish saw he's fighting all the battles for Achish. It was also an enemy of the Jews, but it was an enemy of Achish as well. So he wasn't fighting against Achish. He's doing that. So then the pshat is, it wouldn't be that. Said they wouldn't, the line would be, Lo Yechaya David, didn't keep it on Lovey, Gas Lamor, Pen Yagidu Aleinu Mekol Asa David Chomishpato. Maybe he thought, this is not my job, or I'm not supposed to do it. He didn't want to do anything until he asked Achish. And only when he asked Achish later, that's when, Vaya'amein Achish B'David Lamor, I trust you, now you can do it on your own. You don't have to do anything without me now knowing about it. Go ahead and do whatever you need to do. Maybe that's how the Abarbanel explains it. All right, we'll stop with that, guys. We're up to Perek Chafches, and now it's getting into the good stuff. All right, have a great